first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Football Pubcast show number 117.
Graham Westley's resigned.
Graham Westley's resigned, yes. We're going to go on to that in a minute,
20
James.
Minutes ago.
Really?
20 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah.
20 minutes ago.
And I'm eating an apple.
You're eating an apple. That's James Staples. He's had a very special morning.
I think they're the two main stories on Sky Sports News, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Pubcast that eats fruit.
In fact, I think...
Graham Westley leaves his job.
Harry Redknapp's just pulled up outside in a car suggesting that he'd be interested in buying your apple, but obviously it's not on the market, so... We'll have to see. Yes, James Staples here. We've got Jerome here.
Hello.
Pitches up just after Villa with their first
funny
game
that,
in 6 years.
And as a special bonus for the second week running, we've got Northern Nick here. Can you believe it? And he's wearing a fine cravat as well.
He was Bolton Nick last week, wasn't he?
Bolton Nick, Northern Nick,
cravat
it's all the
Nick.
Same. Cravat Nick.
Well, I wrote to the Sunshine
Club. Sounds like a town in Croatia, that cravat Nick.
I wrote to the Sunshine Club and asked to swim with dolphins, but they said, no, two podcasts on the run instead. So,
two podcasts
your illness isn't that serious. So.
Two podcasts and a date with Stuart Hall. Right, number 117.
Yeah, what are your facts?
I thought I'd have a look at things that have happened in the 117th minute of football matches, so obviously extra
that's not
time.
Bad.
1987, second division or championships it's known now, playoff final, Leeds versus Charlton.
Leeds.
These were days when the final was played over two legs.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Both legs resulting
in... In fact, 86, 87, that's the first year of the playoffs, I think.
It may well be, yes.
Yeah, it was.
Lovely stuff. Two legs, both resulted in 1-0 home wins. Gillingham, bloody hell.
Gillingham were in the third division playoff final against Swindon. It was over two legs, and it was equal over two legs, so it went to a playoff final. So they did have a final at Selhurst Park.
Well,
and my dad got beaten
up.
Final
of the two legs had a final.
Yeah, it was the first. It was the first year. So also the format was the top two or the two from Division Four played the bottom two. Gillingham knocked out Sunderland in the semis. Tony Cascarini scored a hat trick.
Well, that's
and I haven't finished yet.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
I think we drew the home game and we beat them 4-2 away.
What did you have
like
for your dinner that night?
I don't know. Well, it was 1980, probably beans.
Quite
young.
Yeah.
Spaghetti. You've just spat all over my apple. You horrible, horrible.
Sell it to Harry Redknapp.
That's pretty fine. Sexy.
Well, can I?
No. Let me finish.
Fucking
so the second leg was at Sunderland in the semi-final.
It were at Roker Park back in the day. I remember well because I was looking at the road.
And there was loads of Newcastle fans in the
Chelsea. Alan bloody Bennett.
As there would be.
Oh. Well, that's all. You finished.
Yeah, what happened in the Division 2?
Well, the same thing happened, but I will say that Dan Silver's arrived looking like he's just lost the third division playoff. Because you look in a cheerful mood. We are, yes. So you've not missed much. It went to a replay at the great ground that is St Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
Went to extra time, 0-0. There was nothing between these two clubs.
So the same thing did happen. They had two legs. Yeah.
Two legs, but nothing between the two clubs. John Sheridan scores an extra time for Leeds. 1-0. Nightmare if you come from Charlton. But wait... Peter Shirtliff, possibly the funniest surname in 1980s football.
What's he doing more recently?
He was Bury's caretaker manager.
Yeah, I've...
Centre half. He scored twice, including the winner in the 117th minute. But also...
Wait, in the same game? Hang on.
In the final, John Sheridan put Leeds ahead.
Oh, I thought Peter you meant John Sheridan had scored in the 117th minute.
No, Peter Shirtliff.
My old man used to call me a shirtlifter, and I never used to know what he meant. You know what it means?
I know what it means. That's why it's the funniest name in 80s football. And I just feel a bit bad for you. Is that why you're so upset today?
It's
also why I moved to Brighton.
But also, the number 117 in terms of extra time is very lucky for Liverpool because in the 117th minute of the 2005 Champions League final, Jerzy Dudek made that fantastic double save from Shevchenko. But also in the 2001 UEFA Cup final, Alaves's Delphi Galli, which I'm sure I'm pronouncing correctly, scored the own goal, which was a golden goal back in the day, and won them the tournament. So if you're a Liverpool fan, you're in Europe and you go to extra time, wait for the 117th minute and you won't be disappointed.
Or right. You will be because they're not in Europe, but Yeah. Not in a proper Europe, anyway.
Well, no, but bless them. Give them what they can. They're punching above their weight.
So Graham Wrestley's gone.
Graham Wrestley's gone.
Having,
we'll
said, said last night that
last
he would
night,
never...
And I quote, after they lost to Yeovil 3-1, he says, "I have never walked away from anything in my life and don't expect me to." So, I don't know, maybe he was just trying to pull the wool over the eyes of the bookies.
Has he definitely resigned? Presumably. Hang on. Has he resigned or was he...
No, he's resigned.
Okay.
I was going to say, presumably, he's now going to go for the Pope job because everyone's expecting it to be a black Pope, unless you're Paddy Power, who are going to give the money back, and, well, there you go.
He must have walked away from things in the past.
Well, presumably...
Angry dogs.
Escalators.
Yeah. Sure.
If you don't walk away from an escalator, you're an idiot.
You'll be on there all the time. Going back to Liverpool in Europe and them not being in it this year, the proper competition, and them thinking they were going to get it into this
year.
They
are still in Europe, aren't they? Playing...
So they are. No, but they're not in the proper Europe, should we say. They're not in Big Boys
Cup.
They're not in the Anglo-Italian Cup.
And them trying to get back in this season, which the Brendan Rodgers was going about, he really felt they should. For a non-Liverpool fan,
Monday night was pretty funny.
Of the week? No. Monday night was pretty funny if you weren't a Liverpool fan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because, especially that second half, where they didn't have to come at them all game, and then to be hit by two sucker punches was absolute for me. I was laughing the entire time.
It's such a shame, isn't it? I mean, you know my strong positive feelings towards Liverpool, obviously.
Absolutely.
It was very hard watching, seeing a team that hadn't had a shot at Anfield score twice in the last 10 minutes.
I've got a lot of respect for Liverpool this season, particularly their fans. I think they're giving Rodgers enough time. A lot of other clubs, if he'd had the start he'd had and some of the results he's had at home, they'd be fucking screaming at him. I think they do.
The fans
are showing a lot of intelligence.
That said, 2 years ago, Roy Hodgson, they chased him out of town.
Yeah, but he was
If they'd given him the same time, who knows, though? Well, he wasn't particularly
He's going to win the World Cup now, though, as we know from last
week's obviously, yeah.
Lukaku looks like he should be at Chelsea next year, though.
He
really looked like he should be starting for a place next year. He looks
like a new Drogba.
He really does. I mean, he's an animal, isn't he?
He's the new Maluda. They're replacing
the new Maluda.
Under 21. He's only about 10, that guy.
Yeah.
He's 19, isn't he? Is he 19?
Lukaku, yeah.
Absolute beast.
I've seen Anelka come on for Juventus last night as well. I missed that. I didn't even know he'd gone.
He's
brought an emergency loan, I think.
Yeah, we did discuss it.
Because I
said that Drogba had gone. I got it wrong.
Drogba went
to Galatasaray shortly afterwards, didn't he?
Well, Celtic, obviously the Italians were upset at losing the rugby at the weekend to Scotland. They thought they'd make up for it last night.
I was upset last night. I was obviously not even really got an affiliation towards Celtic at all. I was gutted last night.
I thought it was a bit of a disgrace.
It was, definitely.
They got away constantly with the shirt pulling. It happens week in, week out, but it was so blatant.
It was the way that the ref bottled it.
The referee bottled it.
But it was the way the ref bottled it. The way that when there was, anything in the box, then...
it wasn't Peter Shirley.
The ref actually went and booked. He booked both the Celtic player and the Juventus player for no apparent reason. He just thought, if anyone's doing a bit of shirt, I'll book you both.
What was the Swiss lad's name? Toblerone.
Or something.
Do you know why Toblerones, the boxes, are shaped like they are?
Because the chocolate.
Yeah, I was the chocolate one fit in. Yeah. If they did normal sizes, so that's why it is.
That went well. stand up performance of the week, apart from that.
Can I do stand down first?
You can
do
stand down.
Gareth Bale. For yet again making people think that he's actually a lot better than he actually is. He will go to a club and he will be rubbish. He's not a very good footballer.
Is he going to do a David Bentley, who coincidentally has gone back to Blackburn alone?
Mark Lawrenson has put him up there with Ronaldo and Messi.
No.
I wouldn't put him up there with Gary Mabbott.
Gary Mabbott, he was great turning the Queen's nose, if you remember that back in the day.
Gary Mabbott was in the Queen's Nose.
He was on the Queen's Nose CITV programme.
Oh, I used to
guest
hate that
appearance. I was more of a BBC kid myself, but I'm middle class.
Round the Twist, remember that? Bale would be up there for me. Other stand downs while I'm there. Aldershot.
You don't have to talk some bollocks.
Aldershot are second bottom at the moment, and they're a much better team in League Two than where they're sitting. Portsmouth, they're basically down. See, they drew last night with Hartlepool, no win in 19. They lost at the weekend to Bournemouth, which is no great surprise. Bournemouth are absolutely flying. They drew last night with Hartlepool, who are the only team below them, 0-0, and they haven't won in 19.
How'd Derby get on this week?
Who gives a fuck as to Hartlepool?
I know. Said the same thing last week, didn't I? How did Bolton get on?
We're alright, we're 1-2-1. For me, a stand up, I'll get into this.
Yeah, go on, get in.
Stand up performance.
the three players in midfield for Southampton.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Jason,
everyone's going to go on about sort of saying Joe Hart's mistake.
Barry.
What a finish by Barry.
Lads in midfield, the three lads. One was Cork, Alan Cork, son, you know, you play
for. Yeah.
His lad.
Jack Cork.
And there was Davis, the Northern Irish lad. The other one.
Cork's ex Chelsea, isn't he? Jason Punchin, the guy who went on for a
What an asshole.
Yeah. Yes,
yes, I like that. Mike's standout performance of the week is his celebration. Punchin's. Fantastic. Did you see it?
No, I missed the celebration.
Cracked him up.
It
was very cheeky.
He basically ran off to the corner flag, and you know he went off the other week
against Everton, I think.
He did some daft little finger on lip thing, then he pretended to wipe his arse.
Nice. Nice.
Fantastic.
Good lad.
Yeovil, who mentioned Yeovil? Because they won last
night, they beat
Preston, didn't they?
They beat Preston.
They won at Coventry, and Coventry were going amazing before that. They must be near the playoffs now. They were before Saturday, they were one place outside the playoffs, and they've won last night as
they won last night, and Brentford, I believe Brentford won as well.
Gary Johnson, just get him at Yeovil and it'd be absolutely amazing. Because he did all right at Bristol City, actually, to be fair. I think he took him up. I think he took him back up at one point. But
well, it's interesting, speaking of Yeovil and Brentford very briefly, Sean Locke can't be with us today.
Oh, do we have to mention it? We've mentioned it three times
already
on the show.
We have, but it was the actual game last night where it was pay what you want. And of the 12,000 tickets sold, only 7,000 turned up. Mainly because they were being to families for the weekend. But fair play.
They would
it
have been,
finally happened. Well, yeah. Families are more likely to go the weekend than they are taking little kids.
It was Bull last night as well.
Cold Tuesday night, yeah. Well, to be honest.
And they won, which is nice.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Go on, anyone else?
All right, well, yeah, I have another one. Remember last week, I said, what do we think about goalkeepers in short sleeve shirts? After the African nations, because a lot of the African nations.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
You know what I'm going to talk about here? Alex Stepney, old Manchester City goalkeeper.
Wait, he was United goalkeeper, he was City goalkeeping
coach. Oh, I do apologise, he's come out and said.
I don't buy it at all.
Why?
Start again.
Yeah, exactly. But also, Joe Corrigan came out and said the same. Yeah,
he's come out and said the reason why Hart pushed it between his legs because he rolls his sleeves up, and it should be a lot. He should wear a long.
They should have as much protection as they can muster. I'd love a goalkeeper in the Premier League to just come in and not wear gloves.
But I don't know what you've seen that. Old school. Like the goalless shirts.
Like the Portugal goalkeeper did it.
It's really cold though at the moment.
Shut up.
A lot of the golden shirts though, like rugby shirts, have got like a rubbery sort of finish on the side.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I don't think there's a lot in it, and I think he's looking for excuses.
Yeah.
But I just thought after pulling it out last week and
great double save for the England game though, which I called, if you listen to the audio.
Yeah.
Called it in front of Sean.
He was going to go.
To be honest, I didn't listen to the audio, but I'll pretend.
Well, on the audio, I said to Sean, in or out, and he said goal, and I said no. Joe Hart saved down to his left. Boom, saved down to his left.
Yeah. Standout performance of the week, I suppose, for me, another goalkeeper then, Ben Foster. In that game on Monday night. He pulled out some absolute world class saves, and then to save the penalty as well. And it was a decent pen by Gerrard, and he's obviously done his homework because Gerrard put every other penalty to the goalkeeper's right, as it were, and it was a fantastic save.
Has Foster retired?
From international football, he said he wants to spend more time with his
It was one from Gerrard about 10 minutes before that he blasted from about 8 yards, that he went the wrong way and saved it with his right. It was a one. And
if we're talking
the
goalkeepers as well, Butland apparently had an absolute worldie against Cheltenham. Birmingham were 1-0 up and they conceded. They were 1-0 down, scored an equaliser in the 90th minute. It's about the 8th game running Charlton conceded in the 90th minute. But apparently Butland was absolutely phenomenal. That is according to Chris Powell though, and he's not all there. So just discount that. Or if you're a Charlton or a Birmingham fan, let us know, was he actually as good as all they were saying?
Well, I've got another stand-down performance of the week, and that is Roma's Pablo Osvaldo. Don't know if you've heard about this. They were playing Sampdoria at the weekend. They lost 3-1 in the end, but when the scores were tied, he earned them a penalty. And instead of giving the ball to Francesco Totti, the normal penalty taker, he insisted on taking it himself.
Did he win the penalty then? He
won the penalty, insisted on taking it himself. It is the worst penalty you'll ever see. He basically passed it to the goalkeeper. You know when they try and do a little feint and they stop on the run-up? he tried that, and then when he got to ball, clearly forgot what the fuck he was doing.
Oh dear.
But and this leads on to a naughty boys of the week. He's apologised to the Roma fans, but the Tifosi have still smashed his car to pieces at the Roma training ground. So he's apologised to Totti and the fans, but he's not very popular.
Also, stand down Millwall fans for actually making our house just like someone that you're going to look at and actually feel a little bit sorry for.
Yeah.
Which is mightily impressive to have beat such scumbags that you started looking at Al Jeff thinking, oh, bless him. Bless him. Because
yeah.
he actually, if you've seen the footage, he actually complained during the game as well, didn't he?
This is what I don't understand. He's obviously heard it. The referee's standing right next to him.
Don't know if Halsey heard it, but he radioed to the fourth official, made it quite clear.
So why is it only when Sky Sports do a special report something's been done about it?
Why have you seen Danny Shit, who's come out and said he's furious about it and he wants talks with the fans and the owners of Millwall to see what they can do to stop it? Because obviously he's their captain and Black. It can't be a very nice
decision. I think he was apparently getting abuse as well from the Millwall fans. I think I've read that somewhere.
But Danny Shit has been fantastic from this season, by the way.
That doesn't matter.
It's ridiculous. He's a
not a fan of Owen Coyle, don't you?
No, he's not. He's one of my wife, though, isn't he? Remember sending you that email through? He had a bit of a
I was wondering if it was
Dan Shittu. It was on Facebook.
I saw Danny Shittu.
Could always lie and cravat Nick for a story.
Yeah. Danny, if you're
listening. I've got a cracker coming up in a minute. I've been saving it.
But Danny, if you're listening, stick your cravat on.
Yeah, yeah, it'll cover up your ears, Danny. So, I saw Danny Shittu when he was at Bolton in a bar in Manchester. Had a little chat with him, found him on Facebook, dropped a quick email saying, you know, all the best, him like a lovely bloke. It's
a bit like you're stalking him at the moment. He's
got a bit.
Did you give him a gold lighter with your initials on?
Yeah. And he sent me a message back saying we'll do our best for the season, and then made a special comment about my wife. How lovely she was. Despicable behaviour. Good guy of football, Danny Shittu, proved himself to be a callous shark, which he clearly is.
Did he offer you money to sleep with
him? No, he never offered that money. It was quite sinister. You saw it, Dan. I sent it through to you. Quite a sinister sign.
There's undertones.
There's massive undertones.
Sinister man.
Well, you must have an extremely attractive wife.
Well, they split up shortly after, which is the downside of this whole story, but there we go.
Well, I think that qualifies a naughty boy of the week.
And I've wasn't got, this week?
It was two or three years ago.
I've got some naughty boys of the week. And as I mentioned last week, I went to see Oxford United play Bristol Rovers at the weekend in what I suppose we do as our league. It was a terrible game. Bristol Rovers won 2-0. But beforehand, they're on form. They've won something like 5 out of 6.
Yeah, because they finally got rid of fucking Mark McGee. Yeah. Their last goal was an absolute gift, wasn't it? Remember seeing
it was. Yeah, it was
one of the midfielders just gave him the ball.
A quick free kick.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, quick free kick. Actually, really good thinking by their midfield player to actually do it.
Oh no, brilliant!
But I'd have been livid if I was an Oxford defender. Because the play got pulled back.
Well, there wasn't even that many appeals. I think they were resigned to losing at that point. It was in stoppage time.
Possibly.
It's a fucking freezing cold day.
Rovers had a lot there, though, didn't they?
Oh, they did, yeah. They had over 2,000. But beforehand, we were in one of the car parks nearby where they have a beer tent. And there were quite a few Bristol Rovers fans.
Just round behind the bowling place.
Yeah, that's it.
Really good bar.
Fans.
Really good bar.
Yeah, great bar. They do all different
things. It's quite
things.
An inclusive.
League Two, mate. This is why League Two's good.
Well, it was all very friendly. Everyone was chanting about how much they ate Swindon.
Someone's going to get beaten up.
I was there with one of my best mate from home, another lad who goes to Oxford every week, and then a few Americans, some of which were over just visiting, a couple of Maltese lads, a couple of Canadians, a couple of friends. Really mixed.
The Maltese as well?
Yeah. No. All of
the Rainbow Nation.
They were Canadians. Yeah, no, it was strange because they're all students.
French speaking. And they're
all. No, they're all English. All English speaking. All love football.
So all of these
just like to go and watch it.
And who are they celebrating? Who are they supporting?
They support in Oxford. Okay. They were just going down to watch it. They live in Oxford, so they thought they'd watch it. All of a sudden, about 50 middle-aged men start kicking off on each other, having been all friendly. Punches flying, see a police officer picking teeth out of his mouth. Police horse gets punched, you hear people getting kicked on the floor.
Police horse getting punched.
Yeah, somebody threw a picnic bench.
Called the barbarian.
Picked up a picnic bench. He didn't throw it far, but he threw it. It was like something out of the 80s. They were all in their 40s. It was clearly a bunch of lads, but it was an absolute disgrace.
Well,
it was embarrassing.
Who were they? Rovers or Oxford?
Rovers and Oxford. It was the two fans getting together. And there were clearly people there who weren't football fans who just fancied a fight. But the police presence in the town was massive, and it 3 arrests.
But the ground's nowhere near the town.
Well, no, the grounds are throughout the day, people are coming to the train stations.
That interesting so. Point, which is not that interesting to anyone else that doesn't really think it's interesting.
So we'll move on then.
The ground is right next to the dodgiest estate in Oxford. And you think about Oxford, you think it's a really nice picture. It's got horrible estate, and the ground's right next to
that.
To
be honest,
so it might have been some guys from there.
That dodgy, but I can see what you mean. Yeah, it's a traditional working class estate, I suppose you would say.
Scum.
Yeah. But it was terrible. 3 arrests, and I saw about 50 people get involved in this.
It's the police horse, okay. Yeah.
The police horse, I think, is going to live, although he's out for 2 weeks, and he might be back in time.
Can you imagine
pushing
a horse,
though?
No, I can't.
Well, another story.
Ridiculous things I've ever...
A lad we worked...
How screwed in the head do you have to be? I'll just punch that horse.
He's having it. He's having it.
A lad we work with... He's a Liverpool fan, but he's got a Tottenham season ticket. I'll do it. He went to...
Which country is he from? He's Mozambique?
He's from Rotherham.
Okay, good.
Went to Wembley with all the Tottenham lads he goes to a semi-final.
Is this about a horse getting injured?
No, one of his mates punched a police dog.
I
don't get it. What, is this a new football subculture? Is it like
you're the only one with the seen it. You're the one with all the stories.
I could punch a pig, you know. You're like, get down to it. I could punch a pig.
Pig's different, yeah. Back of the edge.
No, you could punch a pig. I like pig. I've got a lot of time for pigs.
You're like the anti-Terry Nutkins, you. You're a right boss. Travelling the world of football to see animals
like
here.
I don't eat meat. I'm a good boy. I like animals. I just enjoy them getting into fights.
I've got... It's more than a good boy of the week, actually, and we don't. It's very rare. I'd go as far as angel of the week, I'd say.
Better be good.
No, it is good. It is Edin Dzeko.
Shirt lifting cunt. Angel of the week.
Why have you said the C bomb? There's no need for that whatsoever.
Sorry, I've had an apple.
Absolutely, no. It's amazing. It's a lovely story. You don't hear it very often at all. Edin Dzeko. Right. There is a kid who, a 16-year-old kid from Bosnia, who's been flown over here for special surgery because he's got debilitating disease, which basically turns your intestines into concrete, which is apparently, and that's the official doctor line.
This is a Sean story at the moment.
No, it's brilliant. So he's come out, the doctor's trying to find anyone, celebrity, to try and get him to come in to try and make this kid feel better. It's a 50-50 chance of surgery, all this sort of thing. Finds out that Edin Dzeko has actually heard about it himself and off his own back has actually for the last few weeks been coming to visit the kid by himself, didn't want any press coverage and anyone know about it.
To Bosnia?
No, the kid's been flown from Bosnia to here. He's a
bullet boy, 16.
For the operation here. He's bought his mum a mobile phone so she can phone back. He's bought the kid PSP, load of sign shit. He's done it all on the download, didn't want anything from it, just to try and make sure this kid is okay. And I think it's not what.
Well, it's great that we're giving it coverage then.
It was actually an MEN reported it, but I think it's not. Footballers don't get a lot of credit a lot of time, and he didn't want any credit for it whatsoever, and he was doing something nice out of a kind of bizarre for a kid. And
we don't play much, does he?
Every Danny Shittu.
It's lovely to hear. So that's my
well done, Ian.
Well, I can tell you, I've cracked a code this week. I've found out where all those Belgians are coming from.
Where? Tell me, please.
Berry, although not for long. Have you heard of Jean-Vion Yulu Matundo?
No, you haven't.
He's an ex-Belgian under-21
international. Punch squirrels or something.
He doesn't punch squirrels. He once scored in the Champions League for Club Brugge against Juventus then. He signed non-contract terms with Berry on Monday. Played against Bolton Reserves on Monday night.
Hard game.
That was a 1-0 victory with an own goal.
Did he score the own goal?
It might have been Jean Vion because he was released by Berry on Tuesday.
He signed on Monday and was released on Tuesday. What did he do?
Kevin Blackwell came out and said, "We threw him in the reserves to see. He could have been on the bench this weekend. He's now on a flight back to Brussels."
Bolton put a very strong team out of that. They had Wheater, Mills, Stuart Oldham.
God, David Wheater, how the mighty have fallen. He was in the England squad,
wasn't he? He played.
I don't think he ever played.
No, but he was named in the squad.
He had a chin like a police horse.
Well, if anyone sees David Wheater, give him a punch for me.
Can I ask a question?
He looks hard as anything.
Where's Des Lynam? What does he do?
Yeah. I reckon he's prowling lounge bars
in the 70s, got off with had a relationship with a Brazilian beauty queen who turned out to be a fella.
Oh, he does. He's Brighton fan, so
the expecting is cowering behind his sofa, expecting that knock on the door.
I'd like to see Des Lynam back.
Yeah,
I really used to like him.
I preferred him to Gary Lineker.
Yeah, match of the day.
He didn't like football like this.
Exactly. He's a Brighton fan.
He didn't like football.
He's a Brighton fan.
Not a massive football fan, though.
Really?
He's a sports fan.
Yeah.
He just sort of fell into it.
Yeah.
I think we should all show Des some love. I miss him.
I'll tell you something. I've got an exclusive story, and it might be my favourite story I've ever heard from somebody at work who, Frederick Piquion, still at West Ham, would you believe?
Oh, God, yeah.
Earning a load of money. He talks in the press about how he wants to leave the club. By all accounts, he doesn't. He's happy to earn his money and do a Winston Bogart. He has been relegated from the first team to the reserves. Subsequently, they won't even allow him to play in the reserves. They won't even allow him into the training ground. He's getting change in his car, and members of the reserve team are bringing his lunch out to him in his car.
So what's he doing in his car? Just sitting there?
Just sits there, yeah. It's basically his changing room.
Why is he staying at home?
He's got a ring in the back.
Because contractually, they can't turn him away. You can't suspend him. There's no reason to. He could take him to an employment tribunal.
Who signed him, Piquet?
Yep.
I think it must...
Was it Zola?
I think Avram Grant. I think it must have been, but yeah,
but he was a decent player.
He had a good season at Pompey. And then he had a terrible one at West Ham, and he went on loan to Doncaster and didn't do much.
What happened to, was it Benjani? He scored quite a few
goals. Benjani is playing in South Africa, I believe.
Oh, that's a shame, I used to like him.
Yeah.
He scored a few goals.
He fell asleep at an airport.
Did he? John Aloisi, I remember, nearly missed out
on a transfer to Man City because he fell asleep at the airport.
Yeah, there you go. Right, I've got two iTunes reviews for you.
Fantastic. It's been a while, you lazy bastards.
Yeah, 11th of June. So, it's just been a while since we've checked it.
Jan, not June.
11th of June.
Alright,
11th of June. No, 11th of Jan. Scamp, 1983. So I'm guessing he's born in 83, same year as me. Hello, Scamp. I'm not going to read it all. It's actually just a really nice review. Very nice.
He likens us to a cheese almost, because he says we've matured nicely over time.
Yeah.
More horse punching.
Yeah.
If you could increase...
Offering a genuine punching. Down-to-earth view with a nice range of opinions and contributions. I quite like that. Yeah. And he also mentions that we look at like some of the nice things and then some of the things... So basically, he's summarising this show because we've talked about punching horses and then Dan talked about Edin Dzeko nurturing...
Yeah.
People,
children.
Yeah, children, yeah, not in a bad way. And then the other one is from Ollie R87, 5 stars as well. The other one was 5 stars.
I like the first three.
Proper funny. Proper the lads on this are also decent to follow on Twitter. Can be a bit southern sometimes.
That's why we brought Nick.
But hang on, but the banter is electric. Better than the football ramble.
Hiya,
boys.
We are definitely not better than the football ramble, but we do have a professional tag on iTunes. Remember, so yeah, get on iTunes, give us a review if you want. We'll mention you. A bit too southern,
Nick. Too southern.
Sickening. Sickening. I think it's right. You know, to identify where the issues are and reallocate resources. If that comes from a northerner,
then the better. All for the better.
It's not where you're from; it's where you're at.
And we're all at.
We're all at the pub at the moment. It's fantastic.
Yeah, talking football, hence the football podcast.
Well, I think that's going to sum us up for the week then. Two nice reviews.
I've got one more.
You're going to give us a live review.
I'll tell you what, you know the normal crap at the end of the show, where to contact us, where complaints go, at Simon Head. We're going to end with Nick's story.
Well, it's a good one, right? And it involves Knight of the Realm, Sir Alex Ferguson.
So he's a sir, isn't he?
Right, okay. Yeah, it's about 1986, 1987, right? I'm an 8-year-old boy, and I was invited to... mum and dad were brought to a charity event. Right?
Try and picture an 8-year-old northerner in a cravat.
So I was brought to this event with mum and dad. Fergie was there signing autographs. He did a bit of a speech signing autographs. Queued up for about 20 minutes to get a Ferguson autograph, and he signed it. He asked, "What's your name, son?" For some reason, I said Kurt. I just said Kurt. I thought Kurt was a nicer name than Nick. I said Kurt, right? So we signed it to Kurt. Best wishes, Alex Ferguson. Got back to the table.
Hang on, this isn't. I thought that was just going to be the story.
No. It's better than that, right? So, got the autograph.
What sort of 8-year-old kid were you?
I don't know. It's a weird thing, that, isn't it? I just. I think I like the name Kurt. I think I wanted people to call me Kurt. So I tried to start my own nickname of Kurt for a while.
You can't start your own nickname.
Never caught on.
Right, from now on, your cravat Kurt.
So brought this,
he was quite nice, you know, even like if you were sitting there, he was very courteous.
Yeah. So I went back to the table, my mum and dad said, come on, let's have a look at it. Who's Kurt? Why has he signed this? So my mother, right, barged to the front of the queue. My mother, just to give you a bit of a backstory, my mother is fiercely protective of her offspring. Fiercely protective, right?
She'd punch a horse for you.
Oh, she would punch a camel. She would headbutt a camel.
Right? Headbutt. I like a camel. That as if a camel's the hardest animal.
So she
in Nick's head then he thought, right, what's the hardest animal? Camel.
Camel.
Oh, she's not going to hit it. She's in a head punch.
Though, the awkwardness. So she barged to the front of the queue. Goes up to Fergie, says, why have you signed his name? His name's Nick. His name's Nicholas. Why have you called him Kurt? Fergie's like, what are you talking about? He said his name was Kurt. My mum said, no, he didn't. Sign it again. Right? It was a fierce sort of, I don't know, game of brinksmanship. Did no one's not- blinking. My mum screwed up the order. I put it down on the table, made Fergie signed it again, and said, sorry about that.
Did your mum give Fergie the hairdryer treat?
She played mind games with Fergie and won.
Did you take both photographs with you?
No, she left the Kurt one on the table. I've still got the original one.
Is it at your mum's or is it at your house? Jane, you can still find it.
Yeah, I know exactly where it is.
Find it, take a photo, that's our show photo.
Right, well, on that note from Cravat Kurt, we'll leave it there. Good night.